Welcome to the Invest with Clarity podcast, where you will learn how success in investing, as in life, is the result of absolute clarity. Mark Pearson of Nepsis in Minneapolis, Minnesota, shares his passion for portfolio management and commitment to transparency and communication to allow investors to fully understand what they own and why, bringing them to clarity in their investments. And now, here are your co-hosts, Matt Halloran and Mark Pearson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 12 with Mark Pearson. On one of our last podcasts, Mark was talking about keeping cash on the sidelines, potentially, and I'm air quoting there, in order to take advantage of market volatility. Because if you've been listening to these Invest with Clarity podcasts, something that you're going to have heard repeatedly is this idea that volatility actually should be called opportunity in Nepsis's mind. And so I was talking to Mark before the podcast today, and I said, you know, Mark, you've talked a little bit about taking advantage of these opportunities, but I've heard other advisors tell me that they do that by keeping cash on the sidelines. So, Mark, let's talk first off about the ability to take advantage of volatility as an opportunity, and then I want you to talk about volatility as an opportunity specifically. Is that okay?
Biggie, I am here to serve you.
All right. Well, you are also here to serve all of our magnificent listeners. So,
yes, true.
How much cash do you keep on the sidelines?
Okay, great question. I'm going to take you two steps back first.
Good.
Because let's live in the world of reality, not in the world of what we would like to live. One of the biggest debates or questions investors will make is, well, it's all great to talk about volatility, but if all my assets are invested during a correction, then what good does it do me? I can't take advantage of the volatility because I'm invested. And most investors usually are 100% invested when corrections happen. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not necessarily the case. I mean, that could be the case with our clients. Now, during this last pullback we had in January, February, we had already started raising cash because, bluntly, when markets go up 7% in 3 weeks after being up, you know, a bunch the year before, what goes up must go down for a little bit. And so this is where let's build the foundation, Matt, and let's talk a little bit first about process. Investing should be considered a process. So that means we must have a buy discipline and we must have a sell discipline in our portfolio. And whether you have 100% of money, 100% invested, or you've got 60, 70, 80% invested with cash available, the principles of what I'm going to talk about today are the same.
Okay.
So if before anyone says, well, it's all fine and dandy to talk about putting cash to work, but if I don't have cash to put to work, then the corrections hurt me and I can't do anything about it. And that's an absolutely incorrect statement. All right.
All right.
So far that makes sense, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, keep going.
Okay. So what do you do in the midst of a correction? Now, I generally, to be frank, don't get super overly nervous, worried, or, you know, think about deviating, if you will, off of the strategy when we're down 5%. A 5% pullback is very common. It's not a big deal. We came on this last pullback down about in February down about 13%. When you get to about 10%, you really should be thinking about some strategic moves. This is, of course, my opinion. What are the strategic moves? Well, if I've got cash to put to work, then I should utilize my buy discipline, strategically investing in the investments I want to invest in at that time. Now, here, Matt, at Nepsis, we do individual companies. We believe in the Warren Buffett school of thought. And so as we look at our 25 to 35 companies we own in our portfolio, we're going to look at the ones that have gotten hammered the most that provide us the greatest buying opportunity. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But let's assume for a minute that the listeners were 100% invested, because most corrections, right, take people by surprise.
Sure.
So what is the one strategy with our 401k money, which, by the way, a lot of people have our money in a 401k, or our retirement plans or our brokerage accounts, whatever it is, what's the one simple thing we can do? Rebalance.
Mm-hmm.
You have a target percentage that you want to own in each investment you have. If you don't, you should. and you should rebalance it when the portfolio goes down 5 to 10%. What that forces you to do is forces you to sell the stuff at a profit and buy the stuff that's on sale.
Okay, pause there. Hold on a second here. I'd heard you say on a previous podcast that during market volatility, that doesn't mean that everything goes down. That's what you were just talking about, right?
Bingo.
Okay.
Correct. So it forces you to what rebalancing does is it systematically forces you to sell stuff that's up and buy stuff that's down.
Gotcha.
So now you're saying stuff doesn't necessarily go down in a correction, but the more volatile stuff does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the stuff that doesn't go down as much should be sold. The stuff that went down more should be bought, in theory, right?
Well, doesn't that kind of go back to the premise of the stock market, which is to buy low, sell high, right? I mean, I know that sounds oversimplistic, but isn't that what Warren Buffett has done forever?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So let's go back to the basic premise. You mm-hmm. are either 100% invested or you have cash to put to work. In our case, if we don't have cash to put to work, we sell stuff that is either been highly profitable, take gains, which a lot of people do, mm-hmm. and buy the stuff on sale, right? Forces you to buy low, sell high, mm-hmm. right? Or you sell, you don't take just take profit, you sell an entire position and reposition to buy something on sale. Let me give you a great example. In this correction, we sold a majority or a portion of three positions in January and early February.
Okay.
Brought our cash levels up to about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
We have now taken that cash and put most of it back to work in the stronger companies that went on sale in this correction, as well as adding a new position in the portfolio that went on sale during the correction. This gets back to flexibility mm-hmm. and transparency. Mm-hmm. Remember philosophy, yeah. strategy, yeah. flexibility, transparency? Volatility and corrections create the ability to maximize flexibility and transparency.
When you talk about this, just in general, this is the antithesis, almost the bizarro world, for a superhero reference there, comic book reference, of how most financial services professionals look at things. So, Mark, I have always been concerned about financial advisors falling into the cycle of investor emotions just like their clients do.
Yes.
And because of those four pillars that you have, and really what you talked about right at the beginning, Matt, which you said, Matt, it's about process, right?
Yep.
Things are going to continue to be volatile. The stock market is being screaming straight up. I'm not a prophet, but I actually showed the stock market ticker to my 15-year-old. And I said, what do you think is going to happen? And he said, it's going to go down. He said, because, Dad, it can't go up all the time. I said, okay, you know.
Yep.
So, of course, then I asked him when, because, you know, if he was that smart, I figured he might be able to tell me when. Yeah, absolutely, maybe. But so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about, because we know that there's going to be market volatility. There's always market volatility. You look at this as an opportunity. Would you mind reminding the listeners a little bit more about that process to remove yourself as the money manager and as the financial advisor from falling into those cycle of investor emotions, please?
You know, you're asking an interesting question, and I'll tell you, I'm going to squirrel on you for just a moment. We actually own a position in our portfolio for our clients that has absolutely been handled. And it's a sizable position in clients' portfolios relative to other positions. And it's a company that we've been involved with since it was public all the way to the point it went, since it was private, all the way to the point it went public.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I'm about to tell you could really, you're going to love this, because you could probably go down about five different veins what I'm about to tell you.
All right.
And it will ultimately answer your question. But at the end of the day, I laid in bed on Saturday. I hadn't been buying the stock for about 3 weeks. I hadn't been continually investing. Remember, we talk about strategic cost averaging,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't been buying more of the stock since like March 17th. And from March 17th until right about now, the stock has gone down about 45%.
Oh!
Okay? Yeah. So it's impacted portfolios pretty substantially during this correction we're in, because, and substantial short term, obviously, and substantial is relative. Let me put that in perspective.
Sure, sure.
But bottom line is, and the point is, I laid in bed on Saturday morning after I had gone in on Friday and bought a boatload of the stock. for the first time in 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then on Sunday night, I laid in bed thinking about buying more on Monday, which was yesterday. This morning I woke up and I thought, man, I mean, I've bought a boatload of this stock in the last 2 days. And then I'd sit there and, you know, you get into this emotional position, which is going to get to the answer to your question, mm-hmm. where advisors get emotional. And here's what I did, and here's what I always do, and here's what I will continue to do. I laid in bed, Matt, and I said, okay, Mark, the stock's down 40%, but have the long-term fundamentals gotten better, worse, or are they the same?
Sure.
Long-term fundamentals have actually gotten better.
Really?
Despite what the stock is doing, yes, long-term fundamentals have gotten better. So why is the stock down? Boom, boom, boom. I went through it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is my buy discipline? What is my sell discipline?
Mm-hmm.
And forget the emotional context of how the stock has pissed me off. At the end of the day, I had to rely on the investment process to make the decision of buying more or not. And that's what advisors need to do, and that's what investors need to do. You need to fundamentally understand at the deepest level what is your buy discipline, your sell discipline. Because at the end of the day, Matt, look, I could end up being wrong about buying it now,
right?
And it could go lower.
Mm-hmm.
But if I understand the true value of what I own and why I own it, if I understand the intrinsic value of this business longer term, and I know why the stock went down like it did, and that's a short-term phenomenon,
mm-hmm.
then I have to take the emotions out of the process, and I have to go back, and I have to stick to the investment discipline. And I think if you talk to most investors, if you talk to most financial advisors, they would probably tell you that, yeah, they've got this investment process. Maybe they've got a discipline, a buy discipline, a sell discipline, maybe not. But ultimately, when push comes to shove, remember they always say it's always darkest before the dawn, and mm-hmm. always be buying when everyone's most fearful. Be greedy when everyone's most fearful. And I came to the realization that this is the first time I've been fearful about really buying the stock, even though the fundamentals are better than they've ever been. So long-winded answer, you are right. Advisors, investors often allow their emotions to make the decisions. And what I tell our clients and what I tell our advisors is, you don't pay me to be emotional. You pay me to stick to a process. And I need to stick to that process. And that's what we're doing. Long term, we'll see what it does. But I'm pretty confident that buying the stock after it's been down 45% in the last 3 weeks, I'll probably end up being right.
Well, but Buffett does this, right? I mean, that's the thing that always... Yeah. So listeners, if you... Please go back and listen to the other podcast. We're on episode number 14. But go back to episode number 1 and listen to all of the 13 episodes before this, because everything Mark just said there clarifies the philosophy that makes Nepsis fundamentally unique and different, because they know and want you to know why they're doing what they're doing so that you have the clarity and confidence that you need. Now, I am sure I'm going to play devil's advocate here. So I'm sure that you have advisors and clients who are like, Mark, what in God's name are you doing? It's down 45%. You just bought more.
Yep.
Prove to me. That's a terrible word. I probably shouldn't use that. Explain to me what you're doing. So let's talk about. Now, I know that we've had your investment guy on, which we should probably have back on again relatively soon.
Yeah,
but let's talk a little bit about what you're looking at. Would you mind? Because I think this is very applicable to not only volatility, but also having cash on the sidelines.
Yeah, love to. So you're going right down my path. I love this. So what is Nepsis, right? At investwithclarity.com. Our URL is investwithclarity.com. What does invest with clarity really mean? It means know what you own and why you own it. Interesting quote out of Jim Cramer I heard yesterday. Quote, if you look at companies as actual companies instead of the S&P 500, good things can still happen. What does that really mean? He's saying when you look at the businesses you own and why you own those businesses, the Warren Buffett quip that says, you know, understand that if people just understood they were investing in businesses, they could separate the emotional position out and stick to the fundamentals, which is what we always talk about. Now, many portfolios own mutual funds and ETFs, and the financial advisors and or the investors have no idea what's in them. But to take this company's to answer your question specifically, Matt, if investwithclarity.com is know what you own and why you own it, here's a company that in the last week I've been on the phone with the executives about 8 hours. I've talked to sources that work around the company. I know this company better than any investment in my clients' portfolios, ironically, because I've been around it since it was a startup. I was around when it raised its initial capital. I know what they have. I know their economic moat. I know their market potential. I know the opportunity, and I know why the stock is down. And when you do the due diligence, when you do the research, this is what gives you the, not the passion, but like the conviction to invest in a company.
Right.
Right. So I had an invest, and I'll give you a great an example, Matt, of how investors I think are totally screwed up on this. I had this one client who's all ticked off because the position's down. And I said, this is very important. No one position should make or break a portfolio long term.
Right.
Short term, it can have some impact. But long term, it should never make or break the portfolio as a whole. Every position you own in your portfolio should be owned for a very specific reason to accomplish the long term goals. So this investor says, well, you are clearly being very emotional about the stock, and you've always told us not to be emotional.
Sure.
And I said, well, how are you saying that I'm being emotional? And he said, well, because you're talking to the management and you had all these questions you wanted answered. Clearly, you had been thinking about this company before you talked to him. And I said to the investor, let me ask you a question. He says, sure. I said, what was the first question you asked me when you called me today? He says, what the heck is going on with XYZ?
Right, right.
And I said, if I would have said to you, I have no stinking idea. Yeah. I'm just letting it ride and we'll see what happens. Don't you think you would have been a little ticked off?
Mm-hmm.
He says, of course I would have. So then I said, explain to me how this is an emotional predisposition and not doing the due diligence of the investments you want to own. Isn't that what we should be getting paid for? Isn't that what investors should be doing in the first place? And not throwing the dart at a dartboard. But most investors, Matt, throw darts at dartboards.
Absolutely.
They don't really know what they own, why they own it. They don't even know what they're paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
That is investing with clarity.
Now, yeah. You have a dual purpose in life with Nepsis. So you have individual clients, and then you also work with financial advisors.
Correct.
Do financial advisors, independent financial advisors specifically, because they always hold themselves out as being able to do their due diligence, do they have the time to do this level of due diligence on these, you know, on these individually held positions in order to have that level of clarity?
That's why they rely on us to provide it.
And so I wanted you to say that because I'm obviously teeing you up for that because I really want listeners and advisors to hear that very clearly. There are different jobs that you can have as a financial services professional. And I personally believe that you and Nepsis, Mark, fill a very needed void.
Well, thank you. And I think, you know, it's funny you say this. I appreciate the comment. And when you look at what's happening in the industry, I actually was literally, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, when you got a stock down 40%, you want to toot your horn as much as you can, as you can, right? And it's only one position, right, while the rest of the portfolio is doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just was quoted literally yesterday in an article for Investment News because the custodian I'm with now, Trust Company of America, finally was purchased and the deal closed yesterday with E-Trade, and E-Trade's entering into the advisory space on a much greater level with TCA, and so I was quoted. And one of the quotes that I had in there was this idea that the financial services industry is changing. And I really do believe that the industry is moving much more into a segmented position, which is that financial advisors will be doing less and less of the actual picking of the investments and portfolios.
Right.
It's going to become much more of a service-oriented business of actual financial planning, which is what they're supposed to be doing in the first place, and not salespeople of investment products. And, you know, as people are going to college and getting financial planning degrees, and then they're charging for these financial plans, it's becoming much more of, call it a legal or accounting, a tax type of model where you're paid per hour or paid for providing specific service consulting services and do the planning. And the investment portion is going to be farmed out to third parties, whether it's a TAMP or an individual portfolio management firm or whatever the case may be. And this gets to your basic point, Matt, that financial advisors can't do both. And if they think they can, they're fooling themselves.
Yeah, or you,
because it takes
consumer.
Too much time to do the due diligence that must be done to make a fiduciary decision on behalf of the client.
Yeah. All right, and with that, I think we can wrap up episode number 14. What do you think?
Sounds good to me. No more devil's advocate?
Yeah, you just got me on that last one there. Because, I mean, honestly, that was, not only should you invest with clarity, everybody who's listening, but you should have clarity. You should understand and look at the marketplace that we're in financial services and have a clear understanding of what you should expect from different people who provide you services. And Mark, I really do thank you very much for continuing to enlighten me as your host and all of our audience to make sure that they're able to have that clarity themselves.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
And for everybody at Nepsis, this is Matt Halloran. And if you have not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you click the subscribe now button below. That way, every time Mark comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up directly on your listening device. And it also makes it easier for you to share with your friends and family. Thank you very much, and we'll see you very soon.
The content discussed is for informational purposes only. It is not a solicitation or recommendation for any securities that may be mentioned herein. Advisory services offered through Nepsis, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor.